skimming across the cooling sands. But tonight it was silent with the thick, busy silence of dozens of nomads folding their tents and getting the hell out of it.
"I promised my mother," said the boy. "I get these colds, you see."
"Well, perhaps you should try wearing a bit more clothing."
"Oh, I couldn't do that. You've got to wear all this leather stuff."
"Well, I wouldn't call it all," said Rincewind. "There's not enough of it to call it all." "And why have you got to wear it?"
"So people know I'm a barbarian hero, of course."
Rincewind leaned his back against the fetid walls of the snake pit and stared at the boy. He looked at two eyes like boiled grapes, a shock of ginger hair, and a face that was a battleground between its native freckles and the dreadful invading forces of acne. Rincewind rather enjoyed times like this. They convinced him that he wasn't mad, because if he was mad, that left no word at all to describe some of the people he met.
"Barbarian hero," he murmured.
"It's all right, isn't it? All this leather stuff was very expensive."
"Yes, but what's your name, lad?"
"Nigel."
"You see, Nigel."
"Nigel the Destroyer,"
Nigel added.
"You see, Nigel..."
"The Destroyer?"
"All right, the Destroyer," said Rincewind desperately.
"Son of Harbut the Provision Merchant."
"What?"
"You've got to be son of someone,"
Nigel explained.
"It says it here somewhere."
He half turned and fumbled inside a grubby fur bag, eventually bringing out a thin, torn and grubby book.
"There's a bit in here about selecting your name," he muttered.
"How come you ended up in this pit, then?"
"I was intending to steal from Creosote's treasury, but I had an asthma attack," said Nigel, still fumbling through the crackling pages.
Rincewind looked down at the snake, which was still trying to keep out of everyone's way. It had a good thing going in the pit, and knew trouble when it saw it. It wasn't about to cause any aggro for anyone. It stared right back up at Rincewind and shrugged, which is pretty clever for a reptile with no shoulders.
"How long have you been a barbarian hero?"
"Oh, I'm just getting started. I always wanted to be one, you see, and I thought maybe I could pick it up as I went along."
Nigel peered short-sightedly at Rincewind.
"That's all right, isn't it?"
"It's a desperate sort of life, by all accounts," Rincewind volunteered.
"Have you thought what it might be like selling groceries for the next 50 years?
Nigel muttered darkly.
Rincewind thought. "Is lettuce involved?" he said.
"Oh, yes," said Nigel, shoving the mysterious book back in his bag.
Then he started to pay close attention to the pit walls. Rincewind sighed. He liked lettuce. It was so incredibly boring. He had spent years in search of boredom, but had never achieved it. Just when he thought he had it in his grasp, his life would suddenly become full of near-terminal interest. The thought that someone could voluntarily give up the prospect of being bored for 50 years made him feel quite weak. With 50 years ahead of him, he thought, he could elevate tedium to the status of an art form. There would be no end to the things he wouldn't do.
"Do you know any lampwick jokes?" he said, settling himself comfortably on the sand.
"I don't think so," said Nigel politely, tapping a slab.
"I know hundreds. They are very droll. For example, do you know how many trolls it takes to change a lampwick?"
"This slab moves," said Nigel. "Look, it's a sort of door. Give me a hand."
He pushed enthusiastically, his biceps standing out on his arms like peas on a pencil.
"I expect it's some sort of secret passage," he added. "Come on, use a bit of magic, will you? It's stuck."
"Don't you want to hear the rest of the joke?" said Rincewind, in a pained voice.
It was warm and dry down here, with no immediate danger, not counting the snake, which was trying to look inconspicuous. Some people were never satisfied.
"I think not right at the moment," said Nigel. "I think I would prefer a bit of magical assistance."
"I'm not very good at it," said Rincewind. "Never got the hang of it. See, it's more than just pointing a finger at it and saying Kazam."
There was a sound like a thick bolt of octarine lightning zapping into a heavy rock slab and smashing it into 1,000 bits of spitting white-hot shrapnel. And no wonder. After a while, Nigel slowly got to his feet, beating out the small fires in his vest.
"Yes," he said in the voice of one determined not to lose his self-control. "Well, very good. We'll just let it cool down a bit, shall we? And then we might as well be going."
He cleared his throat a bit.
"Mmm,"
said Rincewind. He was staring fixedly at the end of his finger, holding it out at arm's length in a manner that suggested he was very sorry he hadn't got longer arms. Nigel peered into the